Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture. A better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
India has formally removed retaliatory tariffs on some U.S. farm products and made almonds and walnuts from California less competitive. Duties on almonds, walnuts, apples, chickpeas, and lentils were lifted as of September 6th. The tariffs were eliminated 2 days before President Joe Biden's meeting with the Indian Prime Minister. Almond exports to India alone represent 46% of all U.S. agricultural exports. The Indian tariffs were a response to 2019 U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum. While some growers are impacted more than others by losses due to Hurricane Hilary, there's not a single grower in the San Joaquin Valley that wasn't impacted, according to Ira Greenstein with Direct Source Marketing. Perhaps a very small percentage of fruit was covered, but it's not enough to make a difference, he said. The loss is expected to be significantly higher than the early projection of 25 million boxes. There will be a lot of companies that won't survive, according to Greenstein. As a result, the losses for table grapes has gone up from $18 a box to $34 a box in the past 3 weeks. The high price is needed for growers just to break even, he said. They are spending about 2 to 3 times more on labor to clean the fruit, looking at the bunches, identifying the bad fruit, cleaning up the bunches, and etc. It takes about 2 to 3 times longer to harvest and field pack. A combination of high labor costs and lower packout rates has resulted in a shift in the break-even price from $20 a box to $30 a box. Even after all the effort of cleaning up, shelf life has been compromised, and there is still a chance for the fruit to get rejected. As a result, some growers have decided to walk away from their blocks completely. With an estimated 35 to 40% of the crop being lost, the natural reaction is for prices to go up. However, this is a difficult process as retailers already have marketing plans in place. Traditionally, September and October are the best months for promotions as both production and quality peak during this time, according to Greenstein. Retailer contracts will vary between $18 and $22 freight on board, but growers can't honor these contracts and they declare force majeure. In order to stay supplied, retailers will have to pay more for the fruit. As a result, $1.99 a pound promotions are gone and being replaced by $2.99 and $3.99 daily retail pricing. At this point, the consumer will have to decide if they want to pay this much for a pound of grapes. It will take about a month of higher prices to see how consumers will react to it, he said. This is completely uncharted territory. He says he's been in the business for 35 years and has never seen California face a grape season this devastating. They are seeing spot sales exceeding $34.95 delivered. Although red grapes are more impacted than green grapes, he's never sold them for this price in September. In a few weeks, there will be more clarity as to whether consumers will continue to buy grapes or shift to other commodities like apples, citrus, or strawberries. According to the California Department of Food and Agriculture, in the Naval Orange Production Forecast, the initial 2023 to 2024 California Naval Orange Forecast is 74 million cartons, up 1% from the previous year. These forecasts are based on the results of the 2023 to 2024 Naval Orange Objective Measurement Survey, which was conducted from June 19th through September 1st of 2023. Estimated fruit set per tree, fruit diameter, trees per acre, bearing acreage, and oranges per box were used in the statistical models estimating production. The forecast includes production of conventional, organic, and specialty navel oranges, including Caracara and blood orange varieties. Survey data indicated a fruit set per tree of 335, down 5% from the previous year. The average September 1st diameter was 2.17 inches, up 3% from last year. Bearing acreage is estimated at 110,000, which results in a yield of 673 cartons per acre. Caracara variety production is forecast at 7 million cartons. Survey data indicated a fruit set per tree of 273, down 11% from the previous year and 2% above the five-year average of 267. The average September 1st diameter was 2.19 inches, slightly above the five-year average of 2.17 inches. A sample of 785 navel orange groves was randomly selected, proportional to county and variety bearing acreage, and 741 of the groves were utilized in the survey. Once a grove was randomly chosen and grower permission was granted, trees were randomly selected. For each randomly selected tree, the trunk was measured along with all connected branches. A random number table was then used to select a branch, and then all connected branches from the randomly selected branch were measured. The process was repeated until a branch was reached with no significant limbs beyond this point. The randomly selected branch, called the terminal branch, was then closely inspected to count all fruit connected to this branch, as well as all the fruit along the path from the trunk to the terminal branch. Since each selected path has a probability of selection associated with the path, a probability-based estimate was then applied to estimate a fruit count for the entire tree. In the week of the survey period, fruit diameter measurements were made on the right quadrant of four trees surrounding the two trees of every third grove. These measurements were used to estimate an average fruit diameter per tree. Of the 741 utilized groves, five were in Madera County, 115 in Fresno County, 437 in Tulare County, and 169 were in Kern County, 15 were in the remaining counties. Beginning in the 2023-2024 crop year, only state-level forecasts will be published, and the Central Valley forecast will be discontinued. Lake County, California Women for Agriculture's 2023 Ag Venture Class met for its first session on August 25th at Lake Event Design's showroom. Day one focused on pears and included expert presenters as well as orchard and packing house visits. Launched in 2010, Ag Venture is designed for non-farming community members who wish to understand the vital contributions of agriculture to Lake County's quality of life. It is guided by a steering committee, all California Women for Agriculture members. It was the first of four sessions. September will feature wine grapes, October will highlight walnuts, and November will focus on olives and ag labor. Expert speakers will address the class on pertinent topics each day. California Women for Agriculture was founded in 1975 and is the most active all-volunteer agricultural organization in the state with 20 chapters and more than 1,300 members. Taylor Farms has announced the launch of their new Celery Bites. Following the examples in other categories across the store, including beverages, salty snacks, and cereal, Taylor Farms is introducing bite-sized pieces of celery featuring a smaller 1.5 cut to provide smaller pieces for snacking, juicing, and for use in smoothies. Value-added celery is growing 10%, according to Brian Riordan, vegetable director at Taylor Farms. He said they're excited to add this offering for their customers, and they have learned that consumers love bite-sized pieces, so they can avoid double dipping and easily portion their juices. Taylor Farms Celery Bites are available nationally and come in 8-ounce and 20-ounce sizes.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
The Crop Consultant Conference is less than 2 weeks away, and attendees will have the opportunity to earn all of their CEU credits, as well as gain powerful insight from leading professionals in the industry. Jesse Roseman, Principal Analyst at the California Almond Board, will kick off the first speaker session of the conference on September 27th. Roseman will discuss the Almond Board's Neighborly Now program and the Ag Neighbors Tool, an online portal to help drive area-wide effective and voluntary mating disruption for navel orangeworm adoption across multiple crops and farm sizes. The Almond Board has spent more than two decades investing in the development of the pheromone that navel orangeworm males use to find females, according to Roseman, who said it was initially used for trapping and monitoring, but eventually developed into a way to flood an orchard with pheromones to disrupt mating and reduce navel orangeworm pressure. He added that the acreage being treated for navel orangeworm can make a big difference in an effective NOW program.
With the researchers that we work with, they identified sort of a minimum effective amount of acres is around 40 acres. And then really it becomes even more effective above 100 acres. And not all growers are that big. So this project came about to help smaller growers or even medium-sized growers expand the area where they're using mating disruption and make it more effective. So this Ag Neighbors tool, it's online. It really is very easy to fill out. And what I'll be talking about is that tool and how growers can use it and how it is effective to manage navel orangeworm and more effective at scale, doing it as a region and just being good neighbors in terms of what are you doing with managing navel orangeworm.
In a year where some practices like orchard sanitation might have been skipped due to an extremely wet winter or as a way to save money, Roseman says what one grower does can have an impact on their neighbor.
And so this project is really a way to get those conversations started. And we're doing that with mating disruption, but it's really about how can we approach this on a region? How can we get those conversations started? And it's also looking at how effective is mating disruption at controlling damage? And the results are that it can actually reduce damage as much as 50% on orchards 40 acres or more, and even more than that if you're talking about using mating disruption on 100 acres or more. So how can you get these smaller parcels, if they work together, to act more like the larger ranches? And we know that adoption has been faster in those larger ranches.
As damage from navel orangeworm is going to be higher this year, Roseman said it's important for growers and PCAs to know that mating disruption is an effective tool that can reduce damage.
So I think a lot of growers and PCAs, and the Ag Neighbors tool is open to both to fill out, are going to be thinking about, this is going to be top of mind, navel orangeworm damage, and what can I do cost effectively to control that damage? And so this session is really going to dig into that. What can I do? What are the advantages of doing mating disruption? What does the research show? And then using this tool, how can I work with neighbors and do it and even make it more effective?
As navel orangeworm is a pest that crosses between multiple crops, Roseman said the Almond Board is encouraging every grower and PCA in almonds, walnuts, and pistachios to access the Ag Neighbors tool, which can be found at agneighbors.com and accessed with the password NOWMD. You can hear from Roseman and many others at the Crop Consultant Conference happening September 27th through 28th at the Visalia Convention Center. More information about the event and registration forms can be found at progressivecrop.com. For My Ag Life, this is Kristen Platts.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack did not pull any punches recently when talking about rural America and ethanol's future in sustainable aviation fuel production. He said during a keynote address at the Growth Energy Summit in Washington, D.C., that although there are hundreds of bioproducts that can be produced using agriculture waste, including livestock manure, the future growth of SAF has created a new life for the ethanol industry. Yet the question keeps coming up, is the ethanol carbon footprint small enough to be the go-to feedstock for SAF. Vilsack emphasized the need for the ethanol industry to continue to work to bring down its carbon score to be more attractive to airline companies expanding their SAF use. And in weather notes, we look for a front to continue across the far south and east today and mostly quiet conditions in the Corn Belt. The government's fiscal year ends September 30th, and Congress either needs to pass a full-year spending measure for the next fiscal year or at least an extension of the current one, or the country faces a shutdown that affects the future of the 2023 Farm Bill. Hot-button issues include U.S. border control with Mexico, how to use money not spent on COVID programs, and borrowing authority for the government. For agriculture, the concern is not only the crafting of the 2023 Farm Bill, but what the fate of the Farm Bill-funded programs look like with this pending government shutdown. National Milk Producers Federation Vice President of Member Services and Governance, Chris Galen.
Some of the programs in the 2018 Farm Bill begin to expire at the end of September. Most of them, including a lot of the Dairy Safety Net one, expire at the end of this calendar year. And so unless they pass either a new Farm Bill or get an extension of current policy, we could also be looking at the expiration of some key farm programs here in the coming months.
Also at issue is the modernizing of the Federal Milk Marketing Order, which is currently undergoing a USDA hearing in Indianapolis, Indiana. If the government does indeed shut down,
the funding for that hearing, the judge that's overseeing it, the renting of space in Indianapolis where the hearing's taking place, that would all come to a screeching halt.
More on the Federal Milk Marketing Order hearing itself in tomorrow's report. Produce prescriptions, which provide vouchers to low-income people for purchasing fruits and vegetables, work, according to a new study published in a journal, Circulation Cardiovascular Quality and Outcomes. That is, they do increase consumption of fruits and vegetables to the amount of 0.85 cups per adult and 0.45 cups per child per day. In this large multi-site evaluation, produce prescriptions were associated with significant improvements in fruit and vegetable intake, food security, and health status for adults and children, and clinically relevant improvements in glycated hemoglobin blood pressure and BMI for adults with poor cardiometabolic health. The researchers evaluated just under 4,000 people from low-income neighborhoods in a dozen states from California to Florida who participated in 9 different programs. The participants received vouchers or debit cards worth $15 to $300 a month for buying fruits and vegetables from groceries and farmers markets. According to a 2019 report from USDA's Economic Research Service, the average American falls short of recommended produce intake, consuming only 0.9 cups of fruit and 1.4 cups of vegetables per day. Individuals choose foods based on taste, convenience, cost, and other factors, in addition to federal dietary recommendations. Cost in particular has been cited as a possible barrier to high fruit and vegetable consumption, especially for low-income households. The produce industry has been pushing federal legislatures to increase fruit and vegetable benefits in the SNAP program, as well as the Women, Infants, and Children's program in the next Farm Bill. And the next Farm Bill is dependent on whether or not the government passes a federal spending bill by the end of the month. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack says lawmakers are facing some major challenges as they try to craft a new farm bill before the old one expires on September 30th. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
The current farm bill expires in just a matter of days now, but Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says because lawmakers have so many varied ideas and priorities they would like to see in that bill, and the budget for the bill is so very limited, it is going to be difficult to settle on what that bill should contain. Vilsack told visiting National Farmers Union members Monday in his opinion.
It's very difficult for one group up there on the Hill to essentially sacrifice their priority for the other group's priority. And they're stuck. Now, they'll tell you they're working on it, and they are. And I will tell you the chairs of the committees are working hard. All four of those individuals care deeply about this, and they want it to get done. They got a challenge.
A challenge Vilsack says is going to be hard to overcome unless folks look outside the Farm Bill, perhaps, to the Inflation Reduction Act, for example, for resources and programs to help farmers. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The Foundation for Food and Agriculture Research has announced a renewal of its partnership with Ecosystem Services Market Consortium, or ESMC. The foundation awarded $10.3 million in 2019 to ESMC to support its research arm, matched by ESMC for a total of $20.6 million. That research resulted in EcoHarvest, launched in May of 2022. EcoHarvest is an ecosystem services market program that financially rewards participating producers for using regenerative agriculture practices that that generate beneficial environmental outcomes. EcoHarvest program regions include the Corn and Soy Belt, Northern Great Plains, Southern Great Plains, Southeast and Great Lakes regions for corn, soy, wheat, oats, and alfalfa cropping systems. FFAR announced an investment of $5.15 million for additional research, and ESMC is matching the award for a total of $10.3 million. ESRC will conduct the research, development, demonstration, and deployment activities that facilitate EcoHarvest participating in all major U.S. agricultural regions. FFAR's Dr. Lakeisha Odom says that these practices are critical in protecting farmers' livelihoods and the environment while increasing productivity.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.